Gaming Podcast, episode number 8 is underway. Howdy, everybody. It's great to talk to you again. We're here for a slightly different episode. We're actually recording in my basement. And so, as always, Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of The Time Machine, which is a store in Manchester, Connecticut. So for more information, you can log on to timemachineportal.com. Also, you can email us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the show. As always, I'm your host, The Brant, and with me is...
your co-host, Brian Raddatz.
Howdy, everybody. We have entitled this episode, A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. And I was naming it that because we're going to talk about some galaxy-related games, but Brian just mentioned something I thought was humorous about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been so long since I've been on the podcast. I mean, Brant did record, what, number 7 by himself? And now this feels like my number 7?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's been a while for me. I teach, so I've been back at school, and I'm in a new job, new place, so that's just been a little hectic. But we're glad to be back with you, and so we're going to bring you another episode here, live from my basement. So with that, we have a little contest we would like to announce here. So we're giving away a $25 gift card that's good at the Time Machine or the Portal. And so if you would like to get your hands on that, email us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com and let us know your favorite horror or Halloween game. And in honor of that, this contest will end on Halloween of this year, October 31st. So send us an email, tell your friends, have them send us an email. And we want to find out some of your favorite horror and Halloween games or anything of that that season that you enjoy. So there's our contest again that ends October 31st. Let's tell you about some upcoming events. So I'm going to turn the first one over to Brian. Go ahead.
Yeah, so October 10th, we're going to be helping host the first Manchester Public Library. I guess it's the Silk City Board Game Group, which is going to be at 586 Main Street, and that'll be starting right at 2 p.m. and it'll go until 4:30. So it'll be 2.5 hours of board games and all that sort of stuff. So I think we've got a couple key games that we're going to focus on and really try to demo them to people, have people get involved in, like, you know, like a couple games that are good entry level or but also competitive. So I think we're going to be focusing on like some games of Dominion, 1775, I don't know the full title of that, but that's the Academy Games one, and Medieval Academy, I believe, is the other one. But yeah, that's going to be October 10th, 2 p.m. If you want to find out any more information about this, we'll try to do it every month. You can feel free to contact Jen Bartlett at 860-643-2471. Or send her an email at jbartlett, B-A-R-T-L-E-T-T, at manchesterct.gov. So, and then the second thing that we want to focus on, I don't know, Brant, do you know a whole lot about this? Or do you want me to take the reins?
Go for it.
All right. So, Saturday, November 7th, kind of taking the reins from International Tabletop Day, we're going to be helping host a 24-hour gaming marathon, which will go toward the Connecticut Children's Medical Center. So that's going to be we're not closing Friday night. We are opening Friday, so we won't close Friday night, and we'll go all the way through Saturday. We'll be playing board games and have like a bunch of tabletop stuff going all day. We're going to keep posting some stuff, and you can find out some more information on our website. Or, you know, give us a call at 860-432-0711. We will be posting stuff on Facebook as well, just when we find out more information for specific games or events. But, yeah, we're going to be doing gaming all 24 hours. So stop on by and check out Extra Life. For more information, yeah, our website will kind of tell you how to get involved and help with, like, sponsorships and whatnot. but that should be an amazing event, and it's really trying to promote a charity. So we'll have a good time then. Hopefully that'll work out for you, Brent. Like, I know I'll try to be there all 24 hours. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. No, I've just on both these events, I love this because it's really extending beyond the store's borders. I mean, obviously the 1-24 event is in our store, but the purpose is kind of outside the store. And then I love the meeting up with the library. I just think that's something great that more stores and things should do, because just getting board games out to the community and getting people together to play and play with other people is awesome. So, and support a good cause is always good. Okay, so let's move to what's on your table. I'll start us off. This is actually a game that both Brian and I have played. And so this is called Isle of Sky, and this is from Mayfair Games. So Isle of Sky is a kind of tile-placing bidding game. And so what happens is every turn you draw three tiles from a bag, and then you secretly choose one of those tiles that you're going to nix, that's going to get discarded, and then you bid with your money secretly on two other tiles. Everybody does this simultaneously behind a little screen, then you reveal, and you discard the one tile, and then everybody goes around, starting with the first player, and you can buy one tile from one other player. If your tiles don't get purchased, then you buy them for what you bid on them. If they do get purchased, then somebody gives you the same money and you get your money back. So you have a whole bunch of money for the next round, which is a neat bidding mechanic. After that, you place your tiles in a tableau, kind of a la Carcassonne. And the tiles have all sorts of different things on them. There's sheep and farms and cattle and boats and lighthouses. And then there's terrain. There's grass and water and mountains. And the really neat part of the game is the scoring. So there's 16 scoring tiles. I don't know how many there are in the game. There's a bunch. And every game you play with four of those scoring tiles. And so they tell you things like most gold scores points and second most gold. Or it's not even a competition. It's just for every completed mountain region. So a completed mountain region is one that you can no longer extend in any direction on these tiles, if you think Carcassonne with the pictures on them. And there's a whole bunch of different ways to score, or for pairs. And then some of the tiles have little scoring that you do at the end of the game. So it'll say score 1 point for every two boats that you have in your tableau. So the competition kind of gets interesting, and trying to price your tiles so that nobody will buy it is neat. And then it plays over. I played it with five people every single time, so it's five rounds, but it's six people. An interesting thing is later in the rounds, you start to actually earn money if you're behind. So that's the catch-up mechanic, to have more money, and that can seem pretty powerful. But I really enjoyed the game. I thought it was awesome. Even with five, I mean, it could be a little bit slow, but it wasn't bad. It really seems to me like it's a light game. The mechanics are all light. But I really do think it jumps into that medium category, because there's just pricing those tiles and deciding what to buy. You see the people with AP like kind of slowing down and thinking it out. So but it was a really fun game. It plays relatively quick. It probably, with new people, took us an hour to explain and play, but that's not bad. And I really could see it being 45 minutes, or I mean even less if you only played with three. I really want to play it with two people and see, like, is this that awesome game that plays with two and plays with five and is really exciting. I'm not sure what the two would be, but it'd be really head-to-head.
Yeah.
And really look at your tiles. With five, it's hard to... Everybody has three tiles, and you can see those tiles, but you don't see what they bid.
Yeah.
And so you're really... It's almost information overload. I can't consider every tile, but I could consider just your three tiles. And now start playing those head games, the shell game. Which one will he discard? What will he, you know, bid? What will he be willing to bid?
Yeah, that does seem neat. I mean, it would be tough because I feel like you get that one opportunity to... You can buy one tile, and then it'll go around. Like, I feel like that might be a little strange, where the first person might not get to buy a tile all the time. Or I don't know. It seems like with five people, it goes around. And, like, though I guess if people buy after your turn is gone, it kind of messes you up, too. Because then you don't get the benefit of having the gold from people buying your tile before. But, so yeah, I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed it, too. It was a fun game with five people, especially when we play it the right way.
Yeah. Yeah, the first time we had some issues with money, people were taking their money back when they bought tiles, and that got a little excessive. And
those people might even be listening to this podcast. So I guess, no, I think the depth from this felt like it came from how to like value those tiles and see, like, you know, like know what you're paying for, what you're spending money on, and if it's worth it. Like if you're spending money on points or just to make your tableau look kind of pretty and, you know, have everything work together. And I had no idea what the value of points were. So I was just making mine look cool. And I just finished dead last, which was, you know, I had a fun time doing it because I was just building my tableau. But I guess I just didn't get the value of the tiles, or like maybe it's the bidding or the auction sort of thing. So, but it was fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, it really clicked for me. I really started to see like, oh, that one will score me points for items that nobody really wants because they're not scoring points in the main part. So at the end of the game, I'll score for those, but nobody wants them right now. So they won't be highly sought after, and I kind of went for that strategy. Now, who knows, if you play the game five times, everybody might go for that strategy, and then that stuff becomes the same, so it balances out. But I thought it was a neat game. Interesting is if you play with 2, 3, and 4, there's 6 rounds. So with 2 and 3, that would mean everybody gets an equal number of turns being first and last. With 4 players, the first 2 players would go twice first. So I don't know how that plays out, but just interesting. So a little different there with 5, then they shorten it to 5 rounds. So everybody goes once. But it was a neat game. Check it out. I thought it was great. Telling Brian, you know, it's not one of my top 100 games of all time, but it was a great game. Not a filler. It's a full game. It's just not, you know, it's not a 3-hour game. But it was really fun. So that's Isle of Skye from Mayfair Games.
All right. And the first one I wanted to touch base on is called Codenames from Czech Games Edition. And I guess the tough thing about this one is it's out of stock at the moment. We got kind of allocated based on, you know, like what we had ordered, but I don't know. Hopefully the second print run will be coming in soon, because it is an amazing game. I'll get to that right now. So in Codenames, you've got 2 teams, like a red team and a blue team. And there's this grid of cards out in the center of the table. And it's just like one word items. Like, you know, you've got different like countries or like just anything on those cards. It's just one word per. And it's a grid of 25 total cards. And on each team, there's one person who knows what that layout is, like which team is associated with those cards, which team basically owns those cards. So the team that goes first has like 9 cards out of the whole 25, and the second team goes and they have 8 cards. And the people that know how it's laid out are trying to give clues to their teammates. Because you can play however many people. We've played with a bunch. You can play as low as, maybe I think even 3, but I think 4 is the key one. You could go 4 and up. So that one person gives like a one-word clue and then the number of cards that's associated with that word. So they're trying to get their teammates to guess the cards that are associated with their color. And the teammates don't know, so maybe they're like, you know, maybe they're like a couple countries out there, like China and Japan or something. And the person says like Asia too, you know, and maybe there's something else out there, and it's like sushi that the person wasn't thinking about it. And then the people on their team pick like China and or Japan and sushi. So all of a sudden they pick something that's not associated with their color, and that would be bad. I mean, they're trying to get all of their cards picked out from the grid before the other team. And it's this really neat, like, word association game. It's kind of like, I mean, like, Password. Is that the one that it gets compared to? Mm-hmm. So it's like a tabletop version of Password. And it's worked in all sorts of, like, you know, the games go pretty quickly. So it can be brought out, like, the end of the night. I played it with my parents, and it was just, you know, we had a great time, and it's just one that's kind of open to like to the casual gamer as well as the gamer. And I'm sure like it kind of feels like it's being talked about. I wish this had been widely available at Gen Con, and even now I wish it was a little more widely available, because it seems like it would be such a mainstay and such an amazing game to get back in stock at our store and just give people this really cool, quick, you know, it's fairly inexpensive. I think it was like $20 or so. This fairly inexpensive game that has a lot to it. And, you know, like all the, you've got this huge deck of cards, so you can have all these different iterations of games, and all the cards are also double-sided, so you can flip them over and have a new grid of cards in the center of the table for, like, a very quick second game.
Yeah.
So I know you've enjoyed it too, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, this is just, this is an amazing game. This is just a game that literally everyone should own. It should sit in everybody's closet alongside dusty old Monopoly and Sorry. You can buy this game as a gamer, give it to a non-gamer, and don't worry. It's not one of those games like, oh man, you just gave me one of your gamer games. Like, it's just so good. When you describe this game, it almost sounds dumb. Like, why the heck do I want to word associate? And then you do it. And it's just so fun. People love trying to figure each other out. And even the banter, you know, like, yeah, I guess people could get upset with each other, but, like, you just got to let it go. It's just a game. And honestly, this is just a game that that everybody should get. To me, this is Spiel des Jahres. Yeah. I mean, right? Like, a game that's just supposed to introduce everybody to gaming. Everybody can sit around. Grandma can play with little Susie. I mean, who's five, you know, she might not be the best at giving the clues, but as long as people can read her some words, she can make a connection. I mean, it could take a little bit of a thought process, but everybody could sit around. That, to me, that's, you know, they call it a party game. So it's not a party game that plays with 50 people. It's not Wits and Wagers and Telestrations and you pull it out with this huge group, but it's a party game in the sense of you could bring this to any party and just start playing. I mean, the explanation is slightly difficult, but if you just do it, you don't even need to explain it. You can just, two people that know how to play, just be the master spies and go. And that's where it's a great party game. I still think it would play well with like 8.
Yeah.
You know, I still think that's fine. I think you'd be pushing it at 10 because I think people would just start to feel left out. But I mean, certainly with 4.
Right.
With
6,
with 8. You can even have uneven teams. It doesn't really matter. So it's just an awesome game. To me, that's where it's a party game. It's almost to me like a Spiel des Jahres. Like a, everybody can play this game. Don't worry. Give it as a gift to somebody for their birthday. And just go.
I don't think I've played with someone who has not enjoyed it. Yeah. And I know like the tough thing, like for party games in general, for me, a lot of times it's kind of like this, you know, like you're kind of a fish out of water sort of thing. Like you feel like the spotlight is on you or there are different things that you need to do that, you know, maybe you're not comfortable with, like, maybe you don't want to sing in front of people or do stuff like that. But, like, this one feels very, like, it feels very thinky, but still, like, fun, you know, like, just because it's like, yeah, it's like, where is their brain and how is it associating with these words, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not like this, like, sort of thing where, it, like, maybe you'll feel like, oh, I should have seen that one, but it's not like, oh, I'm stupid, or something like that. Like, I know there are a couple games where it feels like that. With, like, word games in general, it can feel like you're outmatched by someone who's got this, like, huge vocabulary, but you can just kind of try to make that connection with who you're playing with. So. Nice.
Awesome. That's Codenames. CGE, Czech Games Edition. All right. Actually, last night I got a chance to play Tiny Epic Galaxies. So this has gone out to backers. And so we have somebody who has backed it, Larry, who was on the show a little while ago. So this is from Gameland Games. We played this with 5. So what happens in Tiny Epic Galaxies is it's a dice rolling game, and everybody has a little mat, and you have your galaxy kingdom, whatever you want to call it, and you have some spaceships. And then you have resources, culture, and energy. And so on your turn, the size of your empire determines how many dice you roll. So you can roll up to 7, you start rolling 4. And there's 6 different actions. So there's gain energy, gain culture, move a ship, advance a ship through diplomacy, advance a ship through economics, and then there's the upgrade action. And so you roll the dice, you get 1 free reroll of whatever you want, so you can reroll any dice, and then you use your actions. And so you start with 2 ships, you can take a ship, you can put it on a planet, and there's 2 more planets than the number of players out on the board, and so you can put on a planet and use the planet's special abilities. So they may say, gain some energy, steal energy from another person, yada, yada, yada. Or you can put a ship orbiting a planet where there's a little track that'll number 2 to 7, something like that. And the tracks either move up through economy or diplomacy, which are the other die that you roll, and then you can move forward on that track. When you get to the end of the track, you acquire that planet, which gives you that special ability that you can activate in the future and gives you victory points. In addition, you can use that upgrade action, and you can do the ability on your mat, which is upgrade your empire. So as you upgrade your empire, you get to roll more dice on your turn, and you get access to more ships. You can upgrade your empire, you get victory points as well for that. That upgrade die can also be used to use the special powers of any planets that you have acquired through economy or diplomacy. In addition, you can take any 2 dice and just discard them to change 1 die to any die face, so there's a mitigating factor. And then the neat thing is you can follow somebody's action, so you can use your culture to follow another player's action. So somebody says, I'm going to upgrade my empire, and you can say, ooh, I'll spend 1 culture and follow you, and you can do that same action. Upgrading takes energy or culture to do, so you have to have that. You generate energy and culture by orbiting planets that either produce energy or culture. So when you have your ships out there, that's what you produce. You can spend 1 energy to reroll dice after your free reroll, so there's lots of ways to mitigate there. I thought it was a really neat game. Again, with 5 and everybody trying to learn it and trying to follow 4 other people's actions, again, the table just gets kind of big to do all that, so I didn't think that was the optimal way. I had actually heard don't learn this with 5, but didn't listen. I mean, again, it still took us an hour. It's probably really a half-hour game. Again, I'd be intrigued by playing with 2 to see what that does. I always like to take these games that play with 5 and see what happens with 2. It has solo rules in there. To me, it was good. I mean, I played it once, so I definitely want to play it again, try some different player counts. But I thought it was really fun. It was simple, but it just had that, you know, that big enough bite of the apple. So I thought that was good. Tiny Epic Galaxies, Gamelin Games.
Yeah, so the next one that I want to touch base on is actually Roll for the Galaxy from Rio Grande Games. And I know I talked about Race for the Galaxy a while ago, and I really enjoyed that one, and kind of, I think I said that one was a little bit more favorable than this, and, you know, but recently I've been playing a ton of Roll for the Galaxy just because it's so easy to, like, to get to the table and set up, and I don't know. I've kind of changed my opinion on this game from what I had a while ago. So in Roll for the Galaxy, if you've ever played Race for the Galaxy, it's fairly similar, but I mean, there are some iterations. It's basically you're trying to expand your empire, kind of gain more planets or develop more technologies, that sort of stuff. And each turn you're going to be rolling dice, which are kind of representing how many planets you do have. And these dice have different actions on them, so they're kind of allowing you to dictate what you can do each turn. Each person has, like, a hidden screen, and then they've got, like, this action track of the different things you can do, like exploring or developing technologies or settling planets or gaining resources or trading in the resources for money or for victory points. So behind your screen, you roll your dice, and you decide which ones you're going to do. You can put 1 die on any phase. It doesn't matter. Besides that, it's kind of locking a little bit into what you've rolled. You can put them underneath the different actions that are available. And once everyone's kind of placed them down, everyone reveals lifts their screen. And then you see which one people have decided they're doing no matter what. And then each person does that with the additional actions from the dice that they've placed underneath, like the ones that have those symbols on their die. So, I mean, there are a couple ways to kind of mitigate that, but that's a little more in-depth for, like, strategy and whatnot. So that's the basic gist of it. You're kind of expanding your empire with new planets and technologies, and it's so quick. It's really easy to get to the table. I've been playing it a ton with Rachel, just the 2-player. They kind of add this randomizer, so you're rolling a die each turn to see what happens in addition to what we've picked. Just because it does seem to be more intended for 3+, But they do have that extra variant in there for two players, just so a lot more stuff is going on, you know, so it's like kind of it's guaranteeing a couple different actions are going to be happening. And it's just been, you know, like, I really am looking forward to an expansion, which should be coming out shortly. I hope around Essen.
Ambition?
Sounds right. I don't know. But they're going to be adding some more, like, I think another dice or another color of dice, some more planets and whatnot. Because if Race Through the Galaxy has so many different, like, planets or different expansions and cards and this huge variation of stuff that's going on in the base box plus the expansions. Roll for the Galaxy has gotten to the point where we've played it enough where it feels like we need a little bit more. And hopefully they keep expanding this one, because I just want to keep testing out new strategies, kind of work on different, like, different structures within, like, whatever you've started with. So I am really looking forward to the expansion and just adding more variety. I guess that would be the one complaint that I've got with this base game. Mm. Just from jumping from Race, Roll for the Galaxy feels like I just want more of a good thing. So I guess that's a tough complaint when they were testing it out and seeing how it went. But I don't know. I really enjoyed that game, and I know you've played it a few times too. What were your thoughts, Brent?
Oh, it's a phenomenal game. I still stand by my Race for the Galaxy still has a place in my heart or my gaming collection, but since Roll for the Galaxy came out, I have never played Race for the Galaxy again. So, I say that, but I haven't played Race for the Galaxy now that Roll for the Galaxy's out. So, I don't know if I can justify that through all that. I'm intrigued. Have you played Roll 10 or more times by now?
Yeah.
20?
Yeah.
Pushing 20?
Let me check my phone real quick.
Because, I mean, you know, any game after you play it 10 times is going to get... It's going to tend towards some ability to be stale, right?
Right.
I mean, Argent is probably not, because it has so much variability. Or games like that, I think of level 99, because that's basically what they adhere to, right? We're going to make this so variable, it could never possibly be the same.
All right, 21 plays.
There you go. So, I mean, you're not wrong. You want more. I'm just saying any game that you play 20 times is going to have some level of, this is getting stale.
Yeah. And I know, like, 21 plays for, like, any game would be great. Like, I haven't played, you know, most games more than, like, 10 or, you know. I know, like, Race for the Galaxy, I'm just looking through stuff that I've logged this year. Race for the Galaxy, I'm at, like, 46 plays. And Roll for the Galaxy, 21. So, I mean, Race, I feel like I could keep going just because we've got so much in that box. Roll for the Galaxy, I do want a little bit more for expansions. But to do it justice, like, Race for the Galaxy does have three expansions, I guess. Or three in one arc, one in another arc.
Yeah.
And those three expansions, maybe 90% of it we use, 75%, I don't know, because we don't use all the modules for it, but we've played with a lot of, you know, there is a lot of variance in there.
I don't track my games. I'm a little scared to do that. And I wowed your 46 plays. I think I've played Lord of the Rings, the card game, 46 times in the last month.
Yeah, I mean, that's not surprising, especially if you get obliterated really quickly.
Yes, yeah. Well, we play. I play solo all the time. I'll play three a night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, that one's an awesome, because you want to keep trying quests and
beat it. And now I have an Eagle Ent deck. All right. Anyway, moving on.
That was Roll for the Galaxy from Rio Grande Games.
Nice. All right. My last one is Ultimate Warriors. And this is Matigo and Asmodee. So this is a game I've been eyeballing for a while. And as I hear more and more reviews that are good, I got excited. And it finally got to that tipping point where I wanted to get this game and play this game. So Ultimate Warriors is a light game. By all means, it's a dice-rolling Ameritrash. And I know, Brian, I know that I'm the Eurogamer and you are the Ameritrash person. But, no. I definitely...
Flip that around.
I definitely...
Completely...
favored towards the Ameritrash, but but I got a chance to play this game, and it is so fun. I actually played it twice, even though I just got it yesterday. So we played once with five people, and I played again today with three, which is definitely a minimum. So anyway, what happens in Ultimate Warriors is, first off, you flip the box, you build a ring. The box is the ring that you're going to fight in. Everybody gets a character. They got nice bags that come. You get eight cards for your character. You get a standee. You get a little health tokens for your character. And then you get a little like magic lucky charm that you can use in the game.
I can see the excitement as you're describing it.
So fun. So think King of Tokyo. We're just going to roll dice. We're just going to bash each other in the face. This is even more bashing than King of Tokyo. Because King of Tokyo, you could score points. This is right. You score points by bashing people in the face. I guess you also shoot them with arrows. So anyway, what happens is everybody picks, you have eight cards, and everybody picks a card, puts it face down, and then you count down. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And if your card has that initiative number, so you basically, I think you have one card with every initiative number. They're all unique to the eight different characters. So you can play this with eight people. And so you flip your card when your initiative card, when your comes up. First thing you have is a big shield. That's your defense. That's the number people have to roll on a die to hit you. So if you have four, they need a 4, 5, or 6 on a die roll to hit you. Then you have movement, so you move. The ring is pretty small. There's just a couple places to move to, but you can move around. Then you have a melee attack. If you're in the same space as somebody, you roll whatever your melee attack says, 3 dice, 4 dice, 2 dice, whatever it is, and you roll their to hit number, and you deal a wound to them. The first time somebody gets wounded, their first heart token is large and worth 3 points. So it benefits you to hit everybody first. You don't want to just take one person out, which is a great balancing factor.
I'm not sure where you're going there. It looks like you're trying to lead me to something.
No, I'm just saying it's so you don't just bash on one person, and that's the complaint, you know. It definitely has some mechanics for that. So anyway, that's how it works. And then that's how melee works. And then you have a long-range shot, an arrow shot, so you can shoot somebody who's one space away or two, but if you shoot two spaces, then you have to add one to their defense, so it's a little bit harder to hit them. And two of your cards have special abilities, and every character's special abilities are different. So there's all sorts of different things from roll a die, and that's your defense, or that's your attack, to you can't attack me, I'm invisible, kind of stuff. And so you play rounds. The other kind of mitigating factor they have for not just taking one person out is in the early rounds, the crowd will get upset if you eliminate somebody and they'll throw stones at you and you'll take damage. So that happens for the first three rounds. So you'll play 7 rounds or until there's one person left. So you play 7 of your 8 cards and you just keep playing cards like this. And then at the end of the game, just every damage you did is worth a victory point. The first blood on somebody's worth 3 victory points. And you total up and see who has the most. If there's a tie, then you actually, when you beat somebody, you get their standee, and that's a trophy, and whoever has the most trophies will win. After that, there's a size order. So anytime there's a tie, the smallest characters go first.
Gotcha.
The largest characters go second. So you have the smallest character, I believe, has 5 health. He's a little, like, dwarf halfling thing. A rogue, all the way up to the giant dragon with the helmet and the spear, and he's got 14 health. So they range all up and down, so that definitely plays into it. Like, go after the guy with 14 health, we gotta bring him down. And I thought that was really a great part of the game, was you never were like, I gotta take him out. You're like, I'm gonna get him low, and then start working on this person. And so, when we played our 5-player game, one person was out, like, round 5. But in round 7, everybody had 1 or 2 hit points left. So that was really exciting. And it just kind of came down to the wire like that. So that was really neat. With 3, it was fun. It was a little bit more, you know, trying to figure those things out. Oh, the other thing you have is you have the Lucky Charm. So your Lucky Charm you can use once per game to flip one die that somebody rolled against you. So you can turn a 6 into a 1, a 5 into a 2 so they miss. Or you can make them re-roll all their dice. And that's a really fun little game, head game to get into. But it's a, you know, you got to trash talk in this game. You got to roll dice standing up. We're playing with Larry. He's rolling against the side of the box. I mean, it's just that fun. You've just got to get into it, jump around. I mean, everybody at the table was yelling and screaming and cheering. The guy that died earlier in the game, he said he still had a blast just watching everybody play. It was not like bad, like, oh, I'm out, I'll go to another table, I'll see you guys later. It was, you just stick around and see what happens. The game was 30 minutes with rules, explanation. With three people today, we played it in 20 minutes. So, Ultimate Warriors, Matigo, I highly recommend this game. It's got randomness, it's got all that stuff, but it's great. I'm not going to call it 2-8. I think that's what the box says. It's probably really 4-8 players, but that's an awesome player count.
All right, and the last one I wanted to touch base on is Artifacts, Inc. from Red Raven Games. And so this is a game where you're kind of, everyone starts off on the same level playing field. You've got like a couple expeditions that you're going on, or you've got like some different explorers in front of you, and you've just got this like tableau that you're going to expand upon. On your turn, you roll a set number of dice based on the cards that you have in front of you, and then you use those dice to take different actions. Like maybe you're finding artifacts on an expedition, or you're going on another expedition by buying a card, or you're selling some of your artifacts to museums, that sort of stuff. And it's really determined by the value of your dice and, you know, like whatever you're going to be able to do. But basically you're trying to like keep expanding your tableau. You've got a row of cards that you start off with like really basic stuff. You can buy more cards, which can either expand upon this row to the right of it, or you can build on another row below your cards. So you can have two rows, and you're just adding new action spaces that you can go on. Maybe you're going to be able to find different sorts of artifacts, or maybe you get more money when you sell the goods to the museums, that sort of stuff. And you're just expanding your tableau and going around. After you've allocated all your dice, the next person picks up the dice based on their tableau, and they roll them, they take the actions, and it's, you know, it clears up, all the spaces clear up from person to person, and there are a couple, like, in the middle that everyone has access to, like those museum spots you can sell goods to. I guess the key thing with that is, like, an area control at the end of the game. You're going to be looking at how many artifacts and whatnot people have sold to the museums, so, or how many times they've sold artifacts to museums, and that's going to be a key thing. Besides that, it's really just going to a set number of points based on the cards that you have in your tableau. A lot of them kind of, you know, you can, like, the cards that you buy are going to be giving you, like, a point or two, depending on what it is. Some have special abilities that give you more points based on where it is in your tableau. You can also flip over your cards. They have a backside, which is a little more advanced, like, you've got more advanced versions of those action spaces that they have on the basic side. And it seems like, I don't know, it was an enjoyable game a couple times. It felt like with a higher player count, it was a little slow. Like, each person had their own turn and they were playing their own game, and then it would go to the next person, and then they'd take their turn and they'd have to think everything through, and it took a while to get around. I know, like, with two, it was enjoyable, and I really wanted to love this game because it looks amazing and it's got this cool, like, exploration look to it. But it still, it felt like it was almost there, but it needed a little bit more. So I did look it up on BGG and try to see if there was, like, if, you know, if people are having similar things about this. I know Brent had mentioned this when we played the first time. There's actually a variant that you can play with, and I want to give this game another shot. So I promise before the next podcast that I'm going to try it with this variant, see how it is, to try to make it a little bit more fluid where people are kind of taking turns simultaneously, like that sort of stuff. So this is one that I really want to enjoy, and I'm trying to get a lot out of it. So hopefully it's there, and I'll let you know by the next podcast. I don't know, did you kind of feel similar about the game?
I did. It was like one of those games that I really wanted to like, and there's no reason to hate it.
Right.
Except but will just I didn't ever remember it? Will right. I ever, like, look at a pile and go, oh, let's play that one?
Yeah, it's not, you like, know? Oh, that game was awesome. It's like, all right, that was enjoyable for, like, a filler-ish But it was even, it was long for a filler, and I think that was the problem.
Right. All right, well, so let's look at what's on the horizon. These are upcoming games to the store that we haven't reviewed it, about
Eight-Man Empire,
that you can check out.
Yeah.
So the first one here is called Wrath of Dragons. This is from Catalyst Games.
These two games,
if you go back to our post-Gen Con episode, we talked about this. We got to demo this. It was a neat single worker placement. You have one dragon that you play, some cards.
Is that before or after the wind in the episode?
I think we talked about it after the wind in the episode, so we'll have to see if people heard it. Yeah, skip ahead in that one. That one was a little rough, I know, to listen to. But I think you'll be okay.
Yeah, no, that one was really cool. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, it's a neat game. Definitely want more plays to see if it's really good or if it's just good. But that was a neat one. Besiege was a Kickstarter from Cool Mini or Not, which is probably the number one Kickstarter company now, right?
Yeah, I don't know much about the game, Brent might, but I just threw it on here because Cool Mini or Not seems to have a pretty strong track record.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, though, I think this might be a non-miniatures game. Is this one of their ones that doesn't have miniatures?
They've been doing more of that, but
yeah,
I don't have a good vibe or a good pulse on like that company. I don't know
a lot about Besieged. I know I'm excited for Blood Rage and for the others, so... but that's one to check out. Portal, the uncooperative cake acquisition game, is coming out. So if you're a fan of the video game, that's one to check out. I don't know a lot about it.
It is the Portal that we're at. So, I mean, that seems true. Like that kind of goes hand in hand. We have to bring that in.
Portal Gaming Podcast, the Portal. Yeah, that's a good one. DC Comics, deck building game, has a new expansion. Is it a standalone?
I don't know any details about it, unfortunately. I haven't really played, but there's Legion of Superheroes that looks like it's potentially October, and then there's another one, there's Watchmen, which looks like it's potentially November, though dates can always change around, but there are two expansions to the DC deck building game on the horizon, like on the immediate horizon.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so if you're a DC deck builder fan, there's lots of good stuff coming up. I have to say, Cryptozoic just keeps pumping that stuff out, so
yeah,
there's lots of stuff for that game and whatever you want to mix and match.
Right.
I like Legendary better, but I know people love this game. It gets played a bunch. So
with all this variation, I don't blame people for liking it. It's just this huge stack of cards you can have now.
Yeah, I think you'd have to divide it out, and I play these sets with these ones.
Well, I don't think everyone will do that.
That's true. let's see. Check Games Edition, CGE, we were just talking about code names. They have a bunch of games coming out. Fresh Fish, this is the one I remember hearing a funny story of somebody bringing this home from Germany, and it got held up in customs because it said Fresh Fish. Five Cucumbers, Galaxy Trucker has another expansion, Missions. I do know about this one. This is the expansion for the app
that they turned into a board game
expansion, which is interesting. That doesn't happen very often. Typically, you're waiting for the app to catch up. In this case, they've had a very popular app there. Tosh Kalar is a game I love.
Yeah.
And I never play. But that's an awesome game. Just reminded me to dig that out. So Nether Void is coming out. I think this is the third expansion. See? I don't play, so I don't know.
There's Everfrost or something, right?
And there's such a good game, man.
Yeah. I really like that game, too.
That's really fun. You should check out Tosh Kalar. Not very thematic. The theme is kind of pasted on there for an abstract game, but still really fun. That's a great game. I don't know if I would play it with 3 and 4.
Seems three like was really kind of weird. I mean,
3 is weird.
Maybe 4 would be good with like teams, some direct competition, but 3 it was like two people fought and the other person was kind of off to the side, which can happen in some sort of game like that, but I don't know. I guess you have to know that going in. But it was still fun two player, and I guess I've played 2 and 3 players. So it was really fun to play.
yeah, no, that was a good game. Star Wars X-Wing, Force Awakens ships, here we go. The T-70 X-Wing and the TIE Fighter, they are coming in. We have the Force Awakens.
The new corset. Yep, that's available.
The ships look awesome. I'm so excited for the movie.
said you're not going to it at midnight?
My daughter is 6. She is dying to see it, and I promised, so I'm not going to go at midnight and then go at 3 in the afternoon, so I'm just going to do the 3 in the afternoon. So that's awesome. I mean, people just love X-Wing. I really do like X-Wing the times I've played it. I just haven't made the big investment, but it's obviously a great game. Conquest, Wrath of the Crusaders is the first of the next cycle. So that is that pack is coming in. Again, another game. I love Conquest. Never play it.
Yeah.
But I keep trying. I did collect that whole first cycle.
And that looks like it's probably, like, it's estimated the beginning of next year. So it's a little ways away, but I guess we still need to get the Great Devourer in, which should be
by the time you've heard this.
Yeah. Yeah, we should have it in stock.
Yep. So that's coming out. And speaking of which, I'm excited for the new Lord of the Rings pack is coming out.
Yeah.
I just text Brian last week to say, I finally beat Across the Ettenmoors. And then he's like, oh, yeah, and the new one's coming out in 3 days. And I'm like, ah!
But that's such a great game.
Ah, it's so good. All right, I'll stop talking about it.
We'll get it in every episode.
Android Netrunner, Democracy and Dogma, that's coming out soon. I see a bunch of games here. Is this Hit Point Sales?
Yeah. I don't know. I just threw those on the list. I had heard some stuff about Best Treehouse Ever. Maybe that was just like crowdfunding. That's where I heard about it.
It's a redo of a different game that I don't know.
So that's helpful. But
there you go. Cthulhu Wars.
Which was already out. One company, but
well, it was a Kickstarter, right? And so now,
well, we could, we had, it was one? A bit, I think so.
It's the, yeah,
but I know, like, Hit Point, I don't know the inner workings of it. It seemed like it kind of flew under the radar. It had been available, I think, for us to order, but now it popped up on a new pre-order sheet, so maybe they're doing something different. I don't know. I guess Hit Point Sales wasn't really helpful for the segment.
Darn it. We tried. Mexica is coming out from Aiello. Mexica is one of the three from Kramer and Kiesling. You were asking me about Kramer and Kiesling games.
Yeah.
And so they made Tikal and Mexica and Azteca?
That sounds right.
Are the three, I think, that come from that action point selection. I've played a lot of old games. I haven't played those ones, so I definitely want to try them. Not one of the three. So I'm dying to play Tikal. I've almost gotten the app before just because I wanted to try it. Because I hear that's the best of them. So there's that. Power Grid has the stock companies coming out. Expansion for that. Concordia Salsa is coming out.
Yeah. That's
a great game.
I'm excited for that now. I just played Concordia. So
yes, I just got Brian to play that.
That was definitely up my alley. That's a very cool Euro game.
Mm-hmm.
And I am excited for more for that. I need to play it a second time before I'm excited for the expansion, but...
Nah, be excited. Concordia is a great game. Mare Nostrum. I know a lot of people are excited about this. This is Academy Games. This is a remake. I don't think it's just a reprint. I think it's an actual remake. They changed some things, and several people have kickstarted that. So that's coming out soon. Deception, Murder in Hong Kong. Tom Vassell just put this in his collection.
Yeah.
He added this one with the gavel down.
And he called it the Mysterium Killer, and Mysterium hasn't even come out to retailers yet. So.
It's already dead. Mysterium is dead. This is Gray Fox Games, who just made a game I love, Champions of Midgard.
Yeah.
That's Gray Fox Games. So that's exciting.
Yeah, look, that's right. That's a really good game. It's hopefully really they fun. Keep supporting that. That one was awesome.
That's a good game, yeah. Yeah, and that's not out yet either, so
sorry.
That one will come out soon. So keep an eye out. We don't have any word on that yet. Takedo, Matsuri expansion is coming out. Takedo's a cool game.
Yeah.
It's a cool game. It's very light. It's not really a gamer, but it's beautiful.
With the expansion, there's like the first expansion, there's a little bit more to it. I don't know if you ever played with that one.
I haven't, no.
You get a couple options when you go to each location, so you can kind of pick and choose. It's not just that. It's not like, oh, hey, this is going to happen if I go here. It's kind of vague. Like, I don't remember exactly how it worked, but it does add a little bit of depth. I think I played it two player, which was still a little weird because it didn't have the full, like, trying to block other people. Like, it was just kind of like, I'm gonna go here and I'm gonna go here and I'm gonna move this third arbitrary token to block you from here. So two player was a little bit weird, but I'd be interested to play with more like a couple expansions with more people.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting game. Greenland Second Edition. I know I've heard good things about Greenland. I think that's a long, deep game, though.
Which sounds like fun to me.
And then Neanderthal and Pax Pamir are coming out from Sierra Madre Games. Porta Nigra is coming out from Stronghold Games. I'm excited about that. I'm also excited about Stronghold
Yeah.
coming out from Stronghold Games.
That's not on the list, Brian.
As well as 504 coming out from Stronghold Games. Brian didn't put it on the
list. I don't know when those are coming out.
We don't know when they're coming out, so we're trying to
We don't know where when any of this is coming out.
That's true, but we see it's in the horizon. So, but Porto Nigra is another one from Kramer and Kiesling. So, a very popular European pair. Eminent Domain Exotica is coming out from Tasty Minstrel Games. Any other things you can think of, Brian, that are coming out on the horizon?
I'm sure there's a ton more. I didn't see anything from like our limited resources, but I know like we'll be keeping our eyes out for anything Essen related because that's coming up really quickly now.
Yeah,
so there are going to be a ton of releases. It does stagger a little bit. I don't know when most of those are coming available to the U.S. Because some companies might not like, you know, they might not even be widely available for like years, you know.
Yeah.
Like I think there's still some waiting that we're waiting on from last year's Essen to come to the right. U.S. So it's just kind of up in the
or
air.
The owns.
But yeah, that's the one I was thinking.
Pandemic Legacy. It's almost here. We don't have a date, but it may be conveniently near my birthday, which would be awesome.
You're excited for that?
Yes. Let me just say this. I have played Pandemic, and it was a neat game, and I got it, and I kind of always took it as one of those nostalgic games. Like, oh, this is a cool game. People loved it. It was one of the first co-ops. It had a neat idea. Let's all move on from Pandemic. Then Larry and I played in this tournament of Pandemic. That is an amazing game. That is fun and stress at the perfect level for me. It was so fun to be stressed out. Like, I walked away relieved
that you didn't have to go to end. Europe.
Yeah. No, but seriously, just like relieved that the stress is over, but so fun.
Yeah.
It was great. So now I'm just so excited for them to make a legacy out of this. And I can't wait. I don't even know how many copies I'm going to buy and all the people I'm going to play with. So we'll have to see on that. So there you go. So that is what's on the horizon. If you have more information, as always, log on to timemachineportal.com or email us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. That's episode number 8, Portal Gaming Podcast. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, or in my basement, whichever you consider. So that was fun, everybody. Thanks. It was great catching up with you. Thanks, as always, Brian.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Any last wise words for us?
Hopefully see you sooner than...
Yes, we're going to work on getting these out a little more regularly, so... thank you, everybody, for listening and tuning in. As always, I'm The Brant, and with me is...
your co-host, Brian.
And we hope you step into the portal. Portal Gaming Podcast is a product of Time Machine Toy and Hobby Store / The Portal, which is located at 71 and 60 Hilliard Street in Manchester, Connecticut. This episode was recorded on September 24th, 2015. Please send any questions to us at portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.